Chapter 6, Summertime in Byron Bay. Guy phoned his friends and told them I would be on the bus. When I arrived, a small, thin man with white hair and a beard smiled at me. "Welcome to Byron Bay," he said.
"Hello, are you Ananda?" I asked.
"Yes, I am," he answered. "And you're Daniel."
"How did you know? There were lots of young people with backpacks and surfboards on the bus."
He smiled at me and put my bag in his car. "Sometimes I simply know things," he answered mysteriously. "Call it telepathy."
"Guy said that you need help on your land," I said later in the car. "But he didn't know the details."
"Well, we've got a very big piece of land, and we want to plant some trees," he told me. "One of my students gave me more than 200 trees to plant, so we need help. I'm also a yoga teacher, so I haven't got much free time."
Ananda turned on the car stereo. The music was Indian, and he started to sing as he drove the car very quickly up a narrow road.
"This is Wilson's Creek. It's the name of the area and the river," he said. "We love it up here. We're close to Byron Bay and Mullumbimby if we want company, but we enjoy peace and quiet at home. We'll take you to the market at Mullumbimby on Saturday. It's a big social event."
Ananda had a lot of land, but his cabin only had one room and a big wooden terrace. My room was a small caravan. It was also the kitchen.
"There's a girl volunteer already staying here. I think you'll like her. Come and meet her and my wife Rose," he said, "and bring a towel."
We walked down the hill to the river and sat down. It was lovely. Rose greeted me with a cup of tea and some chocolate cake.
"Welcome to our home," she said.
"Thanks for coming.
Guy said that you're very helpful and strong too."
She turned to a girl who was swimming and said,
"Emily, Daniel's here."
The girl got out of the water, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Emily, the Irish girl from the Australian embassy in Spain. I couldn't speak.
How?
I stammered.
"What are you doing here?"
Everybody laughed.
"Hello, Daniel. We thought you'd be surprised."
She smiled at me.
"My uncle knows Ananda. They travelled in India together 20 years ago, and they're old friends. My uncle is working in Brisbane this week, so I came with him to visit Ananda and Rose."
"Emily, I can't believe it. Now I understand how you knew that it was me at the bus station," I exclaimed to Ananda.
"It wasn't telepathy. Emily told you about me."
Ananda laughed loudly and nodded.
"Shh, look," whispered Rose.
She pointed, and I saw a kangaroo about 100 meters away in their garden.
"That's the first kangaroo I've ever seen. He's very big," I exclaimed.
Australia was such a big place, and I was still only in New South Wales. How many more surprises would there be? Ananda and Rose were wonderful hosts, and I enjoyed spending time with Emily. Rose was also a fantastic cook. They were vegetarian, and all her vegetables came from her own garden. She was very creative, and her food was excellent. In the garden, Ananda was definitely the boss. He was good at organizing the work.
"Look," he said, "these trees go here, in a line, 20 of them.
He was very enthusiastic about everything, and he enjoyed working with Emily and me. We quickly developed a system to dig the holes, carry the trees, and water them when they were planted. It was hard work, but we had fun. When we were hot, we jumped into the river to cool down. On Saturday, we went to the market in Malambimbi as Ananda had promised. He went to meet some friends, and I walked around with Emily and Rose. The market had lots of vegetables and exotic fruits, like papayas and mangoes, and there was also fresh bread and marmalade. The people were really interesting. I took lots of photographs for the magazine and planned my article in my head. "Everybody here looks so different," I said.
"I know what you mean," said Emily. "There are men wearing skirts and people with dreadlocks walking barefoot. Everybody's got an individual style, but they're all very friendly. It's a magical place."
My favourite part of the morning was sitting in a circle of people who were playing the drums and a didgeridoo. This was a long, carved wind instrument made of decorated wood. It made a very pleasant sound. I sat next to a man called Matt. He passed drums to Emily and me and invited us to play. "But I don't know how to play the drums," I explained to him.
"Nonsense! Anybody can play a drum," he told me. "Listen to the basic rhythm and start slowly."
He demonstrated it, and he was right. It was easy. I liked playing drums with all these people. It was like speaking a new language. At the end of the session, I exchanged telephone numbers with Matt.
"Call me if you come to the Gold Coast. I've got a drum shop near the beach. You can stay with us and help us make drums."
The next morning, we got up early because it was Emily's last day before returning to Melbourne. Ananda lent us his car so we could drive to Byron for our last day together. Rose gave us a picnic to take with us, and we drove to Emily's favourite place, White's Beach, 15 kilometres south of Byron. We walked down a path through the rainforest and arrived at a small, empty beach with clear turquoise water, palm trees, and a small cave.
"This is paradise," exclaimed Emily. We spent a wonderful day swimming, relaxing in the sun, talking, and eating Rose's fantastic food. Then, in the late afternoon, we returned to Byron. I wanted to book a room for Christmas when Rick and Becky were coming to visit. I went to a cheap hotel called Belongil Beach House, which Ananda had recommended. The rooms were comfortable, so I booked one for Rick and me. Becky was going to stay with her aunt and uncle nearby. Then we went back to the beach. There was live music and a big crowd of young people. We danced for hours, and then we bought the best fish and chips I have ever eaten from a place called Fishmongers. We sat on the beach and ate our food while looking at the moon. A silver moon, pretty stars, gentle sea, and fish and chips, said Emily. Very romantic.
Emily left the next morning, but we promised we would meet again, perhaps in Melbourne. I was certain about one thing. I really wanted to see that girl again.